In this paper, I'm going to be reporting on the results of a randomized trial of an intervention designed for parents of children aged 6 to 9. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Nancy Ostigen and Jenny Alberg, and this study was funded by the National Cancer Institute. I have no relationships to disclose. In Colorado, we have over 300 days of sunshine a year, and most of the population lives above 5,000 foot elevation. So these factors, combined with a lifestyle that emphasizes outdoor activities, are most likely responsible for our melanoma rates, which are 20 to 30% higher than the national rates. And in a 2006 survey, 48% of Colorado children aged 1 to 14 were reported to have had at least one sunburn in the previous year. The objective of our study was to reduce skin cancer risk among children aged 6 to 9 by increasing perceptions of risk and severity of skin cancer among their parents, increasing perceptions of the effectiveness of sun protection among their parents, reducing barriers to sun protection, increasing sun protection behaviors including clothing, hats, sun avoidance, shade, and sunscreen, and reducing sunburns. In 2003 and 2004, we enrolled 865 families with a child born in 1998 through a large HMO, private pediatric practices, and community settings. Families were randomly assigned to intervention and control groups, and data were collected through telephone interviews of parents with baseline interviews in 2004 and annual interviews each summer through 2007. The interviews assessed knowledge, attitudes, and behaviors related to sun protection and skin cancer. The intervention was based on the precaution adoption process model. This is a stage-based model that proposes that individuals progress through 7 stages in the adoption of a new health behavior. According to the model, individuals start out as unaware of the issue. In the next stage, they're aware but not personally engaged. Next, they become engaged, that is, they see it as personally relevant, and they're actively deciding what to do. They can either decide to act or decide not to act. If they decide not to act, they exit. If they decide to act, they move on to making a plan, then taking action, and then to maintenance. This is similar to the better-known stages of change or trans-theoretical model, but it puts more emphasis and definition on the earlier stages of movement. The model further proposes that movement through the earlier stages will be influenced by perceptions of risk, including knowledge of health-related outcomes, perceived seriousness of outcomes, perceived probability of outcomes, and perceived susceptibility. These lead to a personalization of risk. Movement through the stages will also be influenced by perceptions of the effectiveness of the recommended precautionary behavior, self-efficacy to adopt the behavior, and in the later stages after the decision, perceived barriers and social norms. Using extensive focus group testing, we developed a semi-tailored newsletter intervention for families based on this model. The intervention was delivered over 3 years in the spring of each year. In the first intervention year, the children were aged 7, and the intervention was directed primarily at the parents with 4 newsletters. In the second year, we added 1 newsletter directed specifically at the child, who is now age 8. And in the third year, we directed the intervention a little more towards the child with 3 newsletters for the parent and 2 for the child, who is now age 9. Each year, we sent resources along with the newsletters. In year 1, a swim shirt and sunscreen. In year 2, a sun hat and sunscreen. And in year 3, we sent tree seeds to encourage shade, UV-sensitive beads that could be used to do science experiments related to UV exposure, a backpack to carry sun protection items, and sunscreen. I don't really expect you to read that. That slide is just to show you the basic look of the newsletters. They were generally a 2-sided sheet, and this particular one was from the third year, and it emphasizes the use of shade. Now that one, hopefully you can read a little bit. So each year we developed articles for the newsletters based on the determinants of behavior that were behavior change that were hypothesized by the theoretical model. One of the hypothesized determinants of stage movement, particularly in earlier stages, is perception of risk. Each year we presented parents with general messages about risk, and some of those messages are combined in this slide. So you're seeing messages from, I think, three different newsletters in this slide. In the left column are messages about the increasing incidence of melanoma and non-melanoma skin cancer. The middle column addresses severity of melanoma, and the right column shows Colorado compared to the United States. These general messages about risk are intended to move people from unaware to aware but not personally engaged. To move people from aware to personally engaged, we needed to convince parents that the risk of skin cancer is relevant to their child. In the baseline survey, we collected risk data for each child. These data were then used to generate semi-tailored newsletters. In the first year of the intervention, we selected each child's two most important risk factors and presented parents with information about those two risk factors. In the left column of this slide, you see a general explanation of the risk factors, and at the bottom of that column, the parent is informed that their child has a family history, this particular child has a family history of skin cancer and sunburns easily. The newsletter then went on to explain more about those two specific risk factors. In the second column, you see the message about sunburns and tans. It explains what a sunburn is, what a tan is, and that those who burn easily and tan poorly are 2 to 3 more times more likely to get skin cancer. It also explains that severe sunburns can increase the risk of skin cancer up to 6-fold. In 2006, we tried a variation of the same message and presented parents with a checklist that you'll see on the right column of that slide, showing all of their child's risk factors. And then at the bottom of that checklist is the message that we gave that particular parent had a child with lots of moles, so they got a message explaining the risk factor of moles. So once risk has been personalized, an individual is not expected to act unless they're convinced of the effectiveness of the action or the precaution. In the messages you see here, we tried to convince parents of the effectiveness of clothes and hats in lowering skin cancer risk. We talk about the comparative efficacy of clothing versus sunscreen and the ease of using clothes. These messages were not all used in the same newsletter. They represent messages across the 3 years. In the newsletters, we covered all of the recommended behaviors for skin cancer prevention, but we particularly emphasized clothing, hats, and sun avoidance. The precaution adoption process model anticipates that barriers to adopting a new behavior will be particularly important in moving from the decision to act into the stage of acting. In this slide, you see various messages in which we tried to address specific barriers related to hats, clothing, and avoiding the midday sun. So, for example, we specifically addressed the notion that hats and clothing are too hot. Finally, we addressed social norms throughout the newsletters by interspersing personal stories. And in this slide, you see three different stories that were used in three different newsletters. And those stories primarily came from focus group participants. This slide shows you the characteristics of our study population. You can see the intervention control groups were balanced. The sample was also equally balanced, male and female, primarily white, non-Hispanic, which is the highest risk group for skin cancer. The parents were fairly well educated. 71% had a college degree or higher, and about 40% had incomes under $75,000. Let's see, I'm going to skip these. These are slides showing the use of our materials, and they were fairly high. But moving on to behavior, we asked four behavior questions that were prompted using this question. When your child is outside on sunny days during the summer between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m., how often does your child wear clothing, wear a hat, stay in the shade, use sunscreen? And there's the response scale that we used. So with regard to wearing clothing, these are our results. With the control group with the red bar and the blue bar is the intervention group. And you can see that they started at the same place at baseline in 2004. The intervention group did slightly better than the control group, and that difference was statistically significant in 2006 only. Here we see for hats a similar pattern. The intervention for hat, or the effect for hats, was significant in 2006, and that was the year that we sent the children a hat. For staying in the shade, there was a significant difference benefiting the intervention group in 2007 only. And for sunscreen use, it was relatively high, or very high actually, in both study groups. And we actually tried in the intervention to discourage, well, not to discourage sunscreen use, but to encourage people not to rely solely on sunscreen. And we didn't really achieve that. And we actually do have a higher effect for the intervention group in 2006 once again. For avoiding time in the midday sun, we asked two questions that assessed how often the child is outside, typically in the summer, in the middle of the day, and we then reverse scored that to reflect sun avoidance and scaled it from 1 to 5. And you can see that most parents are reporting that most of their kids are inside in the middle of the day, which could have an effect on obesity rates, unfortunately. But there was no significant difference for those. And then we combined all five behaviors into a scale, and we do have a significant effect for 2006 and 2007. And then with respect to sunburns, which is probably the most important thing, because if you effectively reduce sun exposure, you should reduce sunburns. And this is what we see for non-severe sunburns. We did have a significant effect in 2005. Not in 2006 or 2007. And then for severe sunburns, which is the most important, we did have a significant effect for 2007. So for our conclusions, the effects of the intervention are, I put moderate on the slide, but last night I changed it to modest, I think is more fair. And some of those effects are short-lived. The effect on sunburns is the most promising, and case-control studies of melanoma suggest that a single severe sunburn in childhood can double the risk of melanoma. And you may be wondering whether our results support the precaution adoption process model. We did some other analyses that aren't shown here, and we do find some group differences in perceived effectiveness of protection and perceived barriers, and we're proceeding with some analyses to look at whether those mediated the effect that we saw. And with respect to implications, interventions like this one, which had modest effects, really need to be they need to be part of a comprehensive community-wide program of skin cancer prevention that uses multiple modalities to address prevention across the age spectrum from early childhood and into adulthood. And while educational interventions are an important piece, policy and environmental changes need to be implemented as well. Thank you.
Does anyone have a question?
I have this question with respect to a couple of the other presentations, but you actually raised it, so I'll ask the question directly. You mentioned the fact that being inside during midday may have an impact on obesity, and I heard being under a sun sail instead of running around the schoolyard, wearing a hat that you can't use playing basketball. It seems to me that the epidemic of obesity and the implications for skin cancer are related, but seemingly being talked in opposite directions. Is anybody looking at the coordination of the types of interventions that are necessary to
I believe there's a study, and I don't know whose study this is. Some people in the audience might know, that shows that as children use more sun protection, they're not getting less physical activity. And I'm seeing some nods. Does anybody know that? I don't know the details of that study, but I think there's been one study showing that the two don't have to work against each other. We tried in our intervention to particularly emphasize still going outside, still doing things. In Colorado, I didn't make a slide for this, but the peak temperature in the daytime in the summer is around 5 p.m., and at 5 p.m., the UV rays are are significantly decreased over what they are at 1 p.m. So we tried to encourage people to go to the pool, to go out and do things later in the day. And we tried to really encourage the use of clothing so that, you know, if you're wearing clothing that's sun protective, you can do things all day long. But we don't really have any data specifically to look at whether we reduced or well these effects aren't that strong, that I doubt if we reduced any physical activity, but we didn't collect data that would specifically speak to that. Does anyone else want to comment on that?
Any other questions? Okay, thanks.
And our last speaker is Dawn Hall.